Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning, and welcome, welcome, welcome to the show today. Well, we are here. It's Tuesday morning, 7 a.m., and as we are accustomed to, we have the author of Sexy at 60 here to bring us another great, awesome episode. Mr. Terry, are you with us?
Oh, right here, right here. I'm ready.
Ready, ready, ready. Well, wonderful. It's a great hot, sunny day. We want to hope everybody had a wonderful Memorial Day weekend. We had a nice long holiday. We had beautiful weather here on the East Coast. Don't know what you had where you were, but it was absolutely beautiful here. Not too hot, but hot enough and not too much rain, so we're very happy. But we do know that some people were hit by a storm in parts of Florida and other parts of the Southeast. And it was seemed to be pretty bad down there. So we thank God that hopefully everyone is safe and sound and didn't have too many problems. But Terry, our topic today, you're going to be talking about how to say yes to your greatness. So I'm really looking forward for this topic, and I'm going to let you take it away.
Thank you so much, Lisa. Again, good morning to you and good morning to listeners. And this particular topic is really important because I think a lot of times we spend so much time doing so many things that don't add up to anything. And I know for myself, as I talk about this whole concept of being sexy at 60, it's about not wasting time. But I'd like to start with a quotation. This is from a book entitled Game On by Emma Smith. And it's in a subtitle, Find Your Purpose, Pursue Your Dream. And on page 61, Emmett Smith says, your purpose chooses you. It's already within your heart. Your job is to find it. Your purpose springs from your passion. Whatever it is you do that gives you so much pleasure and fulfillment, that you find yourself drawn to it whenever and wherever possible. For many, a passion is obvious from an early age. Think of the child who can't be torn away from the piano, or the garden, or the fishing boat, or the drawing pad. Childhood passions are like childhood dreams. They are God's hints about the path or purpose he has planned for you. And I would say, going to one of your books where you talk about, you know, the plan that God has for my life. And I think that's really important to understand that it is a plan. We are in a situation where God has planned for our greatness. We just have to really go in that direction. So I would say here that this discussion goes beyond simple time management. It's more into the area of what Oprah Winfrey calls the disease to please, and what I call the urge to placate, that is to appease or to pacify, to go out of our way to make sure that everything is all right for everybody else. It's like being the host of a party and making sure all guests have a full glass and a full stomach. But we all know, in the words of Bill Cosby, who says, and I quote, "I don't know the secret to success, but the road to failure is trying to please everyone." In other words, you can't please everybody. You just can't do it, and many have tried. I know it's only because with us, we sometimes feel a little guilty, a little selfish, because we have so many things. I mean, our lives are extraordinary. I can dine in the best places. I can go to the best trips. I can wear the best clothes. I can live in the best house. I have gone beyond my parents' expectations in terms of income and lifestyle, and I wish even more for my children and my grandchildren. So we feel a little guilty. We find it hard to say no when people ask us to do something, which is not a bad thing, but the problem is that there is only so much hours in the day, and it's only so much that we can do, which brings us to today's topic, which is summed up in this saying. This is from Jack Canfield. He says that you must sometimes say no to the good so you can say yes to the great. That's from Jack Canfield. And again, the great, and I'm talking about the grand destiny, that the ridiculous vision that we hold in our minds and in our hearts, that thought that will make our lives truly what it was meant to be. That vision is so big it will take a lifetime to realize it. And it's not just good, it's great. As Jim Collins says in a book entitled Good to Great, he says, good is the enemy of great. And I think all of this would be easier if we realized that we don't owe anybody anything and that our first priority must be to ourselves. Sometimes we get in our own way, to the point where we really sort of sabotage ourselves. And I think here we have to find the thing that God has planted inside of us, and to bring out the best within us, to bring out our greatness, to give it full bloom. We have to, as they say, stop majoring in the minors. In other words, stop spending too much time on the small things, which means sometimes delegating if you're a leader, which means sometimes saying no to invitations. I mean, you can't make all the parties, you can't make all the conferences, you can't make all the mastermind sessions. You just can't be every place at every time. And again, it really brings me to one of the things that I wanted to talk about is the 80-20 principle. In the book, The 80-20 Principle, Richard Koch, and the subtitle to that book is The Secret to Success by Achieving More with Less. And in essence, this is the idea. 20% of our effort produces 80% of our success. Let me say it again. 20% of our effort produces 80% of our success. So it's really about that good planning and moving in that plan. Again, it's really about working smarter, not harder. And this really means planning and setting goals and priorities. What is truly first? The final question is this. What could your life be like if you said no to the good and said yes to the great? We must be about our business. We must be about the best we can be. Stop playing small. Make our small talk be big talk. It's not too late. Because as Susan Summers says, and as she said, at 65 at this time, has a New York best-selling book that I have in my Kindle entitled Bombshell. And the book is called Bombshell, and it's subtitled, explosive medical secrets that will redefine aging. That's explosive medical secrets that will redefine aging. So Suzanne Summer is saying, you know what, we don't have to live the life that our parents live or our grandparents. You know, we can live a life that is different. We really take the time to redefine what aging really means. And that's why, for me, the Sexy at 60 thing is so important. But it's Susan Summers who said, and she's sexy at 65, she says, all my life, my success has come from visualizing an achievement, whatever it might be, really seeing it before me, and then doing the work to get there. This is truly saying no to the good, to the mediocre, to just getting by, and say yes to the greatness. And the greatness is within us. And I think that all the self-help books that I read and all the messages that I share, it's truly about that, trying to be the best that you can be. I don't know what your greatness is. You have to define that for yourself. All I know is that I'm living a life that I want to live. I'm doing the things that I want to do. I'm engaged in activities that I want to be engaged with people I want to be engaged with. And I find for myself that when I think I have more time, I sometimes have less. I'm not teaching a summer session at one. I won't be teaching again in schools until July, 6 weeks in July and August. In the meantime, I think I have so much time on my hand, but as I sit down to do my work, do my real work, and to plan for my greatness, I find I don't have as much time as I think that I have. And that's why it's important for me to say no to the things that I don't really need to say yes to. I mean, we want to make people happy with us, but sometimes we have to disappoint to make sure we spend time for the things that are truly important. So on that note, I'm going to finish, but then I really wish all the listeners to really find your purpose, pursue your purpose, realize your dreams, because in the final analysis, it is truly up to you. You can't blame anybody else for your success or failure after a certain age. When we're children, we are really at the beck and call of our parents. But when we become adults, we really are in a position where your life is what you make it. And I think the thing is, and the final message is to simply say no to good and say yes to greatness.
Well, that sounds like a plan right there. Sounds like a good plan to say no to good, to make way and be able to say yes to greatness.
Yes.
That sounds very important. It sounds like something we should all be striving for. In our relationships and everywhere, in our careers, in our relationships, in our personal lives, to our health, you know, exactly. There's only but so much time and space, and if we fill it up with the average, with the mediocre, with only what's good, we'll never get to what is great. And, you know, God truly desires greatness for us. You know, He said it, that we should have the abundant life filled. He said, seek ye first the kingdom, and all of these things will be added unto you. So it doesn't really matter what all the things are, but all is all to me. Mm-hmm. Anyways, it's still ALL.
Well, all covers a lot, you know.
Exactly. It fills up a lot. And, you know, so I thank God for, you know, this topic today, and that, you know, the 80-20 rule, you know, taking 20% of our effort to produce 80% of our success. You know, I think that's good to know. That's good to know, because just imagine if we even work that much harder. And really, you know, when you're really, and work is good, you know, don't get it twisted. Okay. To people, the Bible says work is good. My mother told me this all the time. It's growing up. It's the reason I do have a semblance of a job today and will always have one. She said, a man that doesn't work, neither shall he eat.
Yeah, that's serious right there. Because
yeah, she told us that.
Lisa, is the fact that I think for many of us, when we talk about being good, we're comfortable with that. But when we talk about being great, see, we sort of shy away from that because if I say, look, I want to be great, people say, well, you want to be, now you want to be more than you should be. You're egotistical. Yeah. You're trying to be too much. But, you know, what's so funny about that is the fact that if you don't strive, I mean, who wants to strive for being good or being more mediocre? I mean, you shouldn't have to strive for that. You know, I mean, that
right.
should be easy.
No. You know, here's what really helped me, and maybe if there's someone on the phone lines who would like to comment and maybe give their viewpoint on it, or if someone's, you know, wants to make a comment about that. But the way I saw it is that, you know, I was made by a great God.
Yes.
He said, I'm making you in my own image.
Wow.
He says that he says, you're fearfully and you're wonderfully made. And we know how great God is. So, you know, and even Jesus says, you know, it says in the Bible, if doeth not yet appear what ye shall be, but you see him, you shall, when he appears, you shall see him as he is, because you're being made to look more and more like him. So we are great, and we just can't do anything about that.
Right, and I think what we need to do is embrace that, embrace the fact that this is what God has for us. He wants us to be great. He wants us to fulfill our destiny, and he's given us the tools. I think a lot of us have to understand that, you know, no matter how good you are, you can be better, and that's why it's so funny. People ask me, why are you always reading something? I'm always reading something because I know I can always improve. No matter how good I am, I can always be better, and that better is what I strive for, and that's, for me, it's the most exciting. I mean, I know I'm a much better rider now than I was at 40 or 50, and now I'm in my 60s. I know in terms of my creative gifts, they're more developed than they've ever been, and I look forward to my 70s and 80s when I'll be even more developed. But the thing is that you don't stop. You never stop because, I mean, my whole thing, the only time you stop is when you're dead. But we know that there is another level in terms of our spiritual life. We know we leave our physical body, but there's more to be done in the spirit. But I'm the type of person that I want to get as much as I can out of this physical body, and when I go into the spirit realm, I want to get as much as I can out of that. But the thing is, you have to be moving, and sometimes when we say no to things that we really shouldn't say, we say yes to things we should say no to, we waste time. We get to a point where, and I know for myself, I've been in situations where in the beginning of my career, anytime anybody asked me to speak, I would be there. But then I found that, you know, if I make this a speaking engagement, then I can't go to see my son's recital. If I do this, then I can't be here with my wife. And I think sometimes we have to set priorities. We know that God is first. We know that family is second. And we come a third only because, you know, I know for myself, if I put these things first, whatever I need for myself will be fulfilled within my God, within my family, within my friend, within my circumstances. So I don't mind putting myself last because I know for myself, as a writer, I think that's probably one of the most selfish things that I do. I mean, when I sit down to write, I mean, I'll sit down and I'll 3 or 4 or 5 hours have passed like that because I'm doing what I love. I'm pursuing my passion. And I feel that's very selfish. And that's why many times I would overextend myself to compensate for that. But now I realize that it's even better. It's almost like going to see a great performance. Like, for example, Smokey Robinson is one of my favorite performers. He is still touring, okay? But he's not out there every week. I mean, he's looking at his schedule and there's, like, specific dates that he will do. And so when I go to see him, I know that he has particular dates because he's going to give us his best. It's not all the time, but again, he takes time to do his art and to rejuvenate. I find that the older I get, the more sleep I need, but not hours of sleep, but it's really good, restful sleep. And that's why I think, you know, people say, well, as you get older, you need less sleep. That's not really true. I think what happens is that you need more of the best type of sleep. You know, for me, it's almost a ritual. I make sure before I go to bed, I sort of try to wind down. I might read a little something. I might meditate. But when I go to sleep, I want to get that good, restful, rejuvenating invigorating sleep because I know I need the energy for the next day. But the thing is that you have to understand that a lot of things that we do, you know, if we want to live the best life, is not by accident. You don't fall into success. You don't fall into your greatness. You have to you have to have a plan. You have to work your plan. And sometimes you need a team. You know, you have a vision, but sometimes you have a team. And John Maxwell says something I love. He says that teamwork makes your dream work. Okay? So, again, we have a lot of talents and abilities, but sometimes we need other people, and we need to be around that. We need to take time to be around those people that can help us realize our destiny, because in the final analysis, as they help you, you sort of help them, and we all help ourselves.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yes, yes. This is so good. You know, it's really important to... I was talking the other day on the show, I think it was Monday actually, about how to stay motivated.
Oh, yeah.
Even when in a rough situation or a bad situation. But when we think about all that we, you know, are to be, all that we can be, you know, like you said, don't overdo it is what I'm getting out of it too. And don't waste time on doing things that really are not your passion, really don't fit into the big scheme of where God wants you to be. You know, God, he's so great, and you know, part of his greatness is within each of us. That's why we're great. We're only great because of him. So he's great, and everything he built has greatness built in. It's like, you know, the people that used to make the Ragu commercial. The Ragu commercial said, it's in there, you know. It's in there. The greatness is in you. Regard is in everything that he created. The sun, the moon, the stars, the ocean, the fish, the birds, everything that he's created has its own greatness. And each of
And that's why a lot of times when you're involved in something, and I know what I've done, I was reading a book, and the author was saying that many times we have to realize that in the quiet, in the solitude, it's a lot of wisdom. And he was saying, as a matter of fact, I have the book here right now. It's a book by a gentleman named George Lewis. And he talks about good advice for people with talent. And he says that, you know, and I adopted this, is that he says sometimes you need to work in silence, because when you work in silence, you can focus on what you're doing. I know for myself is that if I'm writing and it's quiet, I can hear things that I wouldn't ordinarily hear, because I'm not trying to listen to music and write at the same time and just focus on that. A lot of times people don't really focus, and what happens is they don't really get the full essence of what they're doing. They don't get the full flavor of what they're doing. It's like when you're having a really good meal, okay? Now you taste a little chicken, you know, you taste a little potato salad, you taste a little spinach, you know, and afterwards you have the dessert, and you know, and the thing is, you want to enjoy the meal, but you don't want to be so stuffed that you can't move from the table, okay? You want to eat, and you want to be satisfied. I know a lot of times when I'm writing, let's say I'm writing something, and like I said, I know that I have more that I could write for that day, but I'll stop. Instead of writing 5 chapters, I might write just 4 chapters, and that way it gives me something to look forward to the next day. And I'm still excited, because sometimes you can do your passion to the point where you get sick of it. You know, you get to the point where, you know what, I don't want to write this. I don't want to give this sermon. I don't want to give this speech. I don't want to be at this conference, because we've overstuffed ourselves. But if we could just sort of just eat to be comfortable, or to do enough, say, well, you know what, I think I've done enough for this day. I remember one of my favorite writers, a gentleman named Robert B. Parker, who passed some years ago at the age of 76, and he died. And the rumor is that he died as a typewriter or at a computer. I don't know if that's true. It sounds good, especially for our writers. But the thing is that you have to really look forward to your passion. So if I write like 5 chapters and then I end on a cliffhanger, and the next day, I'm excited because I'm picking up from where I left off, but I still have that same energy and that same passion because I haven't overstuffed myself. You know, I haven't, I mean, some people, you know, take it to excess. I mean, it's all right to drink, but sometimes we go overboard. You know, we get drunk, we get plastic, we pass out, we throw up, you know. We eat good meals, but we eat too much of it. You know, we stuff ourselves. I remember one of my aunts, we go to her house for Thanksgiving dinner, and she would pack your plate so hard at you, and then she would be insulted if you didn't finish your plate. And I know one time I ate so much that I was so stuffed I couldn't move, and I had a headache over my left eye because I was so stuffed. You know, I mean, that's uncomfortable. I had to loosen my belt, and that's not good. I mean, I think now if I would have just maybe ate enough to be satisfied, then I can, you know, look forward to more. So I'm saying is that, you know, we have to be, you know, I guess we have to be moderate in our passions as well as in our habits. You know, I mean, do it, but don't overdo it because you're not going to enjoy it as much. Hello?
Yes, it does take time. Some people just have to, you know, they have to learn how to say no. Sometimes you build a habit of saying yes, you know, wanting to please everyone, thinking that this is going to help you get, you know, closer to your destiny or closer to your goal. And in the end, you just end up tired and wore out. You know, for some people, they need a whole training on just how to say no. I went to such a training where they teach you, especially women in leadership, they teach them how to say no. Sometimes it's, you know, so many different things going on that can cause people to sort of be a yes person, to say yes to things that really don't fit into, you know, God's will for your life or don't fit into just your everyday desires and things that you really want to do. But wanting to either fit in or wanting to not feel left out or other, all kinds of emotions come up that cause people to do these impasse behaviors. And so I think what's important here for people to know is that, you know, every day is a new day. You start today. And when I was in the military, they used to make us, you know, say things like, or no, I think I heard this even before I went into the military. Today is the first day for the rest of your life. And so no matter what you've done, here's today is a new day to try it again. Here's another day to get it right. No need of beating ourselves up over what we didn't do. Let's start today and do it. Do it. Say no. Just say no to someone on general purpose. Even if you really... You know, sometimes you just got to break the habit. Some things have become a habit. As we well know, that's why Dr. Stephen Covey was able to make such an impact from his 7 habits of highly effective people, because realizing that basically everything we do is a result of habits. So start a new habit today and just say no to someone that you otherwise wouldn't. Break that mold, break that cycle. And then start on a new cycle. You'll feel, like Terry said, you'll feel great. You'll feel incredible. So, Terry, we have about 70 seconds left. Did I lose you? Did I lose my guest? Hey, where did my guest go? Okay,
no,
you dropped.
I'm still here.
You are. I'm like, no, somehow the phone hung up, but there you are. So,
yeah, I'm back. Yeah. But then I'm saying, look, you got to go from good to great, and understand that, you know, greatness is available to all of us. All we have to do is make up our mind to be great, and stop majoring in the minors, and stop spending, you know, time on things that are not important. Really, look for the best things in life and move through those things. You know, and don't be just good, be great.
Well. Awesome. With that being said, that's all we have time for. That was really powerful. Well, we hope you all have a great day, not just a good day. And notice that, Terry, but I'm accustomed to saying great morning. I can't even say good morning anymore.
No, great morning.
I have to say great. What's good about it? This is a great morning. We are greatly, so that's why I know some people probably, maybe they picked up on it or they didn't, but I've been saying that for a little while now. It's a great morning. Great, absolutely. We've moved from good, and we're operating in the great because we serve a great God, and He has done great things for each and every one of us, all of us, every last one of us, and we're here to prove it, and we're here to show others. So we'll be back tomorrow, which is Wednesday, for another show, but we'll be back with Terry Benjamin next Tuesday morning at 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Tune in for Sexy at 60. All right, Terry, go out there, show some people how to go from good to great.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in to another segment of the Coach LaLisa Show. Well, we hope you learned something. Now your challenge is to go and apply the tips, tools, or strategies that you have learned here today. And don't forget to invite a friend. Share the knowledge. Share the love. Share the wealth with everyone. Well, we are honored that you were here with us today for this 30-minute segment. The Coach LaLisa Show could be heard right here on Blog Talk Radio every morning, Monday through Friday, at 7:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's been great. It's been real. It's been awesome. And you got to keep moving on up because, in reality, there ain't nothing stopping you now. You are on the move. And this has been Coach LaLisa J. Williams.